Only attracted to the things that bring the drama. Overseas, yeah, we're trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists killing in the USA. Hey, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only got love for your own race, then you only need space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're about to get irate. Yeah, now this is what you demonstrate. And that's exactly how anger works and operates.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday at 12:05-ish. Right here at the studio at 59th Street in Cortez. And joining me in the studio today, about a month since his return, the last time, Augie Schmitz is here. Good morning. Good afternoon, Augie.
And just call me Augie for short, and other things you choose to, Henry.
Well, I'm trying to get people to follow you on Twitter.
Oh, there are some followers, actually.
Yes, and you need more.
There you go. Rondo from the Chicago Bulls has got to be really peed off right now. They traded Jimmy Butler to the Minnesota Wolves and to his old coach.
Is that what you're tweeting about right now?
We are. Yeah, I am. Yeah, for sure.
Is he a follower of yours?
He has, yeah.
Wow.
That's a fact. Uh-huh. Early on, I said...
Your influence is spreading on social media. That's
well, the biggest media area that's going among any single group is the NBA. That's actually a fact. The NBA players and the coaches and everybody, they're very into social justice matters, along with winning games or not winning games and who's who and so forth, yeah.
Well, since you brought up social media, let's let people know that you can find the Henry Rain Show on social media. Facebook at Henry Rain Show, you can find it there, or just search for it, and you'll find links to previous podcasts and shows recorded there. By the way, and speaking of Twitter also, we got some promotion, if you will, on last week's show, which was Leon Harris, and we'll be putting up the bonus segment on that sometime this weekend. But he was here, and although you know him probably as a labor organizer and political civil rights activist and your dealings with the Democratic Party here locally, well, he's in the Manatee County side,
I'm only laughing at the party.
Yes. Well, when you're partying with the party, you're laughing at them. But last week's show... Was
Leon is a great guy, and he was involved in baseball, wasn't he?
Well, that was what the majority of the show was about last week, and we'll be putting up the additional parts of the interview about his social activism this weekend. But last week's show was pretty much entirely devoted to his time in baseball, which he played on the Kansas City Monarchs, the Yankees of the Negro League. But what I didn't know about, because that was 52-53, Jackie Robinson left the Monarchs to come to Major League Baseball in 47. Leon was actually recruited by the St. Louis Cardinals, and he would have been one of the first African-American pitchers for the St. Louis Cardinals, more like around 51-ish, 52-ish. But his arm, he was still able to pitch, but only in a reliever's role. And they had two other African-American prospects on the team, and they figured St. Louis... Three African-American pitchers. Who would ever want to see a baseball team with three African-Americans on it? And or a basketball team, for that matter.
That's a story I'll tell you, too, if you like.
Well, let me finish the self-promotion here. And then, so anyway, that is up on the Henry Rain Show, which is available either at the Facebook page or henryrainshow.podomatic.com. There's a lot of archives there. You can probably find the old Morning Edge show if you search around on there, too, on podomatic.com. But we have a retweet. Of course, I put it out on Twitter, by the president of the, not the United States, but probably more interestingly, the president of the Negro League Museum.
Oh, really?
So he circulated that. We got some play off that. And then also, I think I found the best way to make money on Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies and Litecoin.
Okay.
Is probably to do a radio show about it.
Oh, there you go.
Because I put our segment out, which is also at henryrainshow.podomatic.com. You can go back, look to Augie and I stumbling around talking about Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum, and all of a sudden I got followers all over the Bitcoin universe that just from that little bit.
Selling bonds on Bitcoin, based on Bitcoin, like the fund does?
There are ATMs right in Tampa Bay where you can get Bitcoin and Litecoin. Now, the company, and I've contacted them because I want to have them on the show, the Tampa Bay ones, you can deposit cash and then you can have Bitcoins or Litecoins posted to your account. But the ones in Atlanta by the same company, you can receive cash from the ATMs for your Bitcoins and Litecoins. And Litecoin, MIT has announced that they have a project starting August 1st with that. So there's you can count that I will be following this as it goes on.
I get that. But the question I have is, can a government basically create a bond system on that, municipal bonds or some other thing of that sort? Can that be done?
Well, I mean, the Bank of China, the Bank of Japan are clearing Bitcoins and I don't know if they're Ethereum or Litecoin yet, but the you might have heard him, Vladimir Putin.
That
I think
guy?
He's president of Russia or something. He met with the industry association, if you will, which includes some big names like Microsoft, et cetera, about digitizing the Russian currency.
Well, that might save it.
So, well, there's a lot going on there, and I don't want to devote this whole, as much as it seems to be something that had some traction out there in the Internet, I will be trying to get some guests on that help us sort through this.
That's a good, I'd be interested in being here if you're going to do that, but.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I've got to tell you this part, because now that you got me rolling on this, did you see that what happened with Ethereum, that is the cryptocurrency, the blockchain programming currency that is transactional and is what many people say will be the basis of the new Internet? What happened on their pricing this week? It went from $360 for an Ethereum, an Ether is what the Bitcoin is, Litecoin, that's an Ether, $360 down to 10 cents. And that was on Wednesday of this past week. It lasted for a brief time, and it was triggered by someone with a multi-million dollar sell order on Ethereum that the exchange couldn't keep up with. And so what happened, you're versed in stocks, and so you can follow this, and maybe many of the audience are too. So all of this Ethereum for sale is an open sale order came onto the market, so it starts selling at 360, and then as the price drops a little, people are reluctant to start buying Ethereum.
Well, then everybody sells.
Well, not only that, so it drops down into the 200 range. All of a sudden, all the automatic stop loss programs start triggering. Then I didn't realize you can trade Ethereum on margin. The margin calls started coming in on Ethereum.
Lord.
And, people are losing money as this thing's plunging now. Like, there's no circuit breakers on the trading system.
Sure.
So they can't stop the trade. And there's screenshots of one individual. And the difference between placing an order for a stock and placing it for this, the Ethereum, you could say, I want 10 Ethers. Or you could say, I want to buy $1,000 of Ether. And it would just fractionalize it for you, however many there were, fractionalize it. So there, one individual put up the screenshots of his trading screen where rather than asking for X number of ethers, he put however many dollars it was, say 1,000, and it traded at the 10-cent level. So if they, and I haven't determined yet if the screenshots actually were valid and the exchange honored it, but his $1,000 or even $10,000 turned into $1,000,000 because it triggered at 10 cents. And then once the system caught up,
the old price
it went right almost back, you know, went above 300. So amazing.
A technical glitch cost a hell of a lot of money for quite
Well, there
a few
was
people.
Also an ICO offering at the same time.
ICO, what is that?
That's an initial coin offering, like an initial public offering, right. Only you're buying with the cryptocurrency, and it's open to anyone. So rather than, you know, Morgan Stanley or something getting it to their favorite clients, everybody tried to jump on that at the same time. But it was really the multi-million-dollar sell order that was the big trigger.
You know, this is what people do, though, Henry, when things get shaky and the leadership of a country is in question. These dodges, as they might be called, remind me of the 1929s when people were terrified of what the future was going to bring. And people bought into everything under the sun. The only ones who came out of the crash of 29 were the bankers and the lawyers who bought up real estate. Simple, hard real estate, whatever they paid for it.
Who had the cash to do it.
And or who had
to wait. Sounds very similar to something that happened recently.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe about 5 years ago.
That's maybe a little further back. I blew some real opportunities at that time myself, but I only regret that I didn't take some deals that were offered me. Yeah, this thing, you know, is an interesting thing. I think we need. I would like if you want to bring somebody in here that knows something more than you or I, I'm certainly more than I know.
Yeah, one of the troubles getting guests on this. A lot of these platforms and companies don't publicize their phone numbers. You just contact them through email.
Oh.
But I went through the support system for the ATM company, right. and we'll see if anything comes of that. So, what's other?
You're setting the agenda today, so.
One more housekeeping thing. We now have different phone lines.
Oh.
Phone numbers.
Oh.
Same old phone lines, but different numbers. And if someone wants to call us, we have a couple numbers here. 941-761-8703, 941-761-8703, and this one might be a little bit easier to remember, 888, so 888-761-1490. So if you're using the old 745-1490, don't. You can try 888-761-1490. Okay, I'm sorry, Augie.
No, I'm glad you did that. A number of people were interested. I meet with a group down at the Friendship House down in Sarasota. And it's interesting when we get into these, you know me, I'm never a heavy conversationalist, but I always am.
No. I got to pull the words out of you like pulling teeth.
I tell you, it's really, really something. But the thing that's interesting that's going on with people, two people in this group, two women, I won't give their ages or anything, but they've gone into reverse mortgages. And they're content with it, except that the trap this one woman had.
They took them out on their homes or
their homes.
Or financing other people?
No, their homes. And they're in a trap now because this woman who has very little money, was relying on not having to pay any by having done this for the last 10 years, now is being required by the lending institution that has wrapped her reverse mortgage into a requirement of certifying her roof. And the roof certification scam that goes on because of the state of Florida and the insurance company and so forth, the requirement with the banks is such that you get certified.
And what does that mean?
Well, a roofer has to come in and give you a certification that the roof is good for X amount of time.
Now, wouldn't the roofer have an incentive or conflict of interest to say the roof needed to be replaced?
Oh, of course he does. And that's the scam right there.
You can't use an independent inspector?
There are those who do that. And as I pointed out to her, if you can get someone who's an independent, then you may just get the 3-year extension. But in the meantime, you better put your money together. Sooner or later, you're going to run out of time. For example, if you get a certification that says you got 3 years, well, you really only basically have two, because the year you're in is the first of the three. and it becomes really a catch-22 because of what you just said. The roofers are happy as hell, and they got legislation through to cause the banks to do this.
So is there a clause in the reverse mortgages that say you must keep your house at a certain level of maintenance?
Of course there is. Of course that's the catch-22 also.
And if you don't?
And if you don't, you can lose the house over the value of that roof. And they will do it, and they'll back charge against your equity, whatever's left of it at that point. And that's what happens to people. That's how they get caught in these reverse mortgages, which I think is a subject that a lot of people need to
know. Well, let's
about.
Take a moment anyway. We can always, our audience will adapt.
Mm-hmm.
So explain to people the reverse mortgage. You're a senior that is living on a fixed income, and you need. And let's say you're a relatively young senior, maybe 65,
mm-hmm.
and you've got your house. Now, does your house need to be paid for, or you just have to have sufficient equity?
Well, they have to approve it for the reverse mortgage, so they're, you know, I assume that the banks are operating on a couple of principles. One, you've got equity there. Say the house is a $200,000 house, is a typical home, perhaps. And they're going to, and your mortgage payment at that point is, let's say, $1,000 a month or some such thing.
Right. Like you have a $1,000 loan still to pay off.
Yeah, well, it's usually 50% of the value is, and it comes out at about $1,000. So, and you have insurance and so forth. But when they take over your mortgage, when the reverse mortgage, they also take over the payment of your taxes and insurance, which are collateral baggage, so to speak, against the equity of your house.
Mm-hmm.
If they pay that over a 10-year period, that adds up against the value of the house. So if, say, you bought it at 10 years ago at $200,000 and now it's worth $3,000, it hasn't gained any value enough to wipe out the burden of the equity that the cost against the equity that you create by not paying the taxes, not by paying the insurance all that time. So what happens to people when the equity goes over a certain amount, or the loss of equity, less loss of value, you end up in a position where the bank can just take the house and push you out.
Does it have to go through a foreclosure?
They can basically foreclose.
It has to go through that judicial process.
Right, exactly. And a woman across the street from where I live did just that, and did happen to her. Exactly.
So when they have the reverse mortgage, they don't have the title. I mean, the lender does not have the title to the house. I mean, it's just like a regular mortgage in that respect.
That's an area that I'm not quite clear on. I don't want to say one way or the other. My suspicion is that you're basically collateralizing the value of your home in such a way that the chief creditor is the lender, and chief and only creditor. Non-payment of taxes.
It really seems if you are a relatively young senior with as long as people live these days, I mean, if you're 65, there's a good chance you're going to be alive another 20, 25 years. I mean, and you probably are hoping that.
Yeah, exactly.
And that sounds like you could watch that equity evaporate, and you might be at 79 or 82 and all of a sudden find out you're on the streets.
And I really want to get with somebody who knows this much better than I do, but I've seen the consequence in a few cases, and I find it. And when I see these actors get on with these high-priced commercials for getting reverse mortgages or setting them up,
you never be kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
Live there till you die.
Exactly, exactly.
You and your spouse both.
Yeah, and so you end up. What happens? And what happened across the street from me was the family saw the debt that she had created and the liability, and if the house was not up to a certain value like the debt that had been created, they can come against the inheritors of the owner of the home. They become the new liability inheritors as well. And this thing is a really, I think, a very hazardous, tricky area. So when you see these actors get up there, what was the guy, the fine?
Acting?
And they really are acting. And the Fonge from that.
Henry Winkler.
Henry Winkler doing.
You trust anybody named Henry.
You absolutely must. And then the guy that played in Hawaii 5-0, what's his name? He does that.
Not Jack Lord. I think he's dead.
No, there's another guy that played the Hawaii character, but good looking guy. But now he has.
Magnum.
Magnum
P.I.
Magnum P.I. You gotta trust him. And of course, this is the stuff of nightmares for people when they get caught in these horrible things.
I'm sure there are examples of people that it works out rather well for them if they don't fall into those traps.
Well, the woman's been paying. She's very happy. She's been paying for 10 years, but now she doesn't know what she's going to do because she relies on her Social Security to live on and can't afford to do a roof and do a payout of whatever, because she couldn't. If she owned the home, she could get an equity loan against the house, but since she really doesn't own the home, she can't get another loan. They block that. And it's another way to take over the property, just over a maintenance issue like a roof. So it's pretty hazardous circumstance. But I think the other hazardous circumstance that we're facing is what I told people we might be talking about a little bit, the health care bill, but that the Senate wants to...
Well, we have openings to talk about the health care bill in a moment, but there was an interview of our president, Donald Trump, Fox and Friends.
I got to hear, yeah.
Yes. Well, I
you did say that. I'm sorry.
I jumped ahead 30 seconds here of the interview because as much as I would want to hear about Melania and the congressional picnic that she was planning that day, I want to get into the president's words because we are a little bit tight on time. But any other show, I would have been fascinated by the picnic. So here we are with President Trump. Excuse me. Yeah, it was just a too much saliva in my mouth.
I know, that's all right.
Yeah, there was no hidden Freudian slip
the
there.
Yeah,
so President Trump here is talking to Ainsley, as the blonde host now of the...
Ainsley?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are really a strange bunch there on...
On Fox and Friends?
Yeah. I mean, Well, they're the characters who run these shows now. The guy that replaced O'Reilly, I'm trying to think of his name, Carlson?
Yeah, Tucker Carlson.
Tucker Carlson. He's actually a pretty bright guy, a real cynic, but he does it fairly well and convincingly. Far better, I feel, but kind of mean in his characterizations. But Fox and Friends is just doofus time.
Well, they had Gretchen Carlson on there for a while, and we know, following the news, how the whole sexual harassment played out and what happened to Roger Ailes, et cetera. And then Elizabeth Hasselbeck came over from The View, who, regardless of how you feel about her opinions, she was at least had a professional resume, and I'm sure Ainsley does too, but it seems like the resume needs to start with blonde.
Blonde, and how short is your skirt?
Well,
never short enough, right?
That's a very strategic placement on the couch they have there for Fox and Friends. But let's get into the substance, the meat and potatoes of this. And Ainsley is delivering the meat and potatoes here with President Trump.
Today, you said you didn't take James Comey. Do you want to explain that? Why did you want him to believe that you possibly did that?
Well, I didn't tape him. You never know what's happening when you see that the Obama administration, and perhaps longer than that, was doing all of this unmasking and surveillance. And you read all about it, and I've been reading about it for the last couple of months, about the seriousness of the horrible situation with surveillance all over the place. And you've been hearing the word unmasking.
The irony of the person who was talking about taping someone else is upset and anxious about surveillance just struck me. It's not one of the key points.
Well, which
there.
Irony would it be? That's the question.
He does have his bad experiences with surveillance, like in the Access Hollywood tape.
And yeah, that was, and then his advice to Mr. Billy Bush, right? This is what you do, and this is what you get.
Grab women by their handle, and you've all heard it before. We'll move on to why he and there's this a moment here coming up as the reporter asked him that was a smart move, and he tries to be humble about it all, and you'll be able to hear that too. He gets into healthcare a little bit, but we'll finish up this topic and get Augie's opinion.
A word you probably never heard before, so you never know what's out there. But I didn't tape, and I don't have any tape, and I didn't tape. But when he found out that that there may be tapes out there, whether it's governmental tapes or anything else, and who knows, I think his story may have changed. I mean, you'll have to take a look at that. because then he has to tell.
Sorry, he's the president. Who knows? He is at war with our intelligence community.
How clever, though. How clever of him. Yeah. I mean, this is the wit of a lifetime.
Well, in reality TV, it's probably more than sufficient.
Yeah, the lifetime of a mosquito.
What actually took place at the events. And my story didn't change. My story was always a straight story. My story was always the truth.
Always.
But you'll have to determine for yourself whether or not his story changed.
God.
But I did not.
It was a smart way to make sure he stayed honest.
Oh,
in his
yeah.
Hearing.
Well, it wasn't, wasn't very stupid, I can
heavy.
Tell you that. He was...
Oh, wait a minute. Now, he doesn't have many moments of humility, so you got to hear it here.
I'm sorry.
Let's try again.
Right.
But I did not.
It was a smart way to make sure he stayed honest in those hearings.
Well, it wasn't very stupid, I can tell you that.
Well, except that he's now lying to intimidate a witness, but he's opened up another can of worms for
he's
the expression of justice.
How successful he was with the lie is what he's saying. I lied this way to trick him. And he recorded it himself.
Well, technically it wasn't a lie. But you could say he was trying to...
It was a deceit.
He said he better hope there's no tapes.
Yeah, that puts out, well...
It's an impression.
It's called, well, yeah, it's a deceit. It's not card playing, it's card marking.
Well, I think if you were pinned down in a court of law, it's not a lie. It's a ploy. It's an attempt to influence. Certainly is that. He admits that right then.
Mm-hmm.
And is that what he just admitted is an attempt to influence was an attempt to influence the blonde that was interviewing.
Well, at least.
Could have a whole different intent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
He knew where to grab her.
Right by the microphone.
There you go.
Make sure the audio levels are
big
correct.
Round microphone.
Oh, he's telling you to pick up your droopy microphone. Get a hold of that mic, Augie. There we go.
Oh, my mic is drooping. Oh, gosh.
That's it. There we go. That's the right angle of inclination.
You heard the one about the guy sunbathing in Australia, didn't you? In the nude. And an eagle came out of
it. No, I certainly haven't. But go ahead.
This is actually a fact, factoid. And this eagle flew out of the sky, coming down and grabbing his male parts, thinking they were turtle eggs. And
That part of his male part.
That part.
I thought maybe it was trying to grab a kind of reptile that was...
No, just the... Because it's a delicacy among eagles to get turtle eggs.
You don't get many opportunities like that.
And of course...
Even in Australia.
And the reason supposedly was that the guy had put on sunblock, which made his parts very white, and the eagle came for that. And... He had to fight him off.
Well,
so.
Now, whose parts, how much has he got in the sun when his parts aren't white? If you're a white person.
I really don't know, Henry. You got a call?
We do.
There you go. Let's see what we have to hear.
All right. Let's see if this works. You're live on the air.
Hello.
Yes. Caller, are you there?
Caller, are you there? No, I'm not hearing anything right now.
So that was the 888-761-1490 line.
Okay.
Lies, lines. I'm getting more and more confused as we delve.
So coming back to the discussion.
Well, let me give the other phone line, 941-761-8703, 761-8703. You can try the local line. I know that worked last week.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, anyway, the Fox and Friends... let's see. Tell me, I don't watch Fox that often, so have they changed the color of their couch from red to blue?
I don't know. I was watching the video on this, but
He
was actually in the White House doing a stand-up interview with the mic.
That's
why I was
making
the microphone reference.
No special effects. Well, you know, he really has never gotten over, what was that show he did, the interview or the Apprentice? The Apprentice, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. And his relationship to people was always... Well, should I keep him or fire him? And I like firing because it makes me look powerful, and I have a reason, of course, that no one else can suspect or understand other than me and my...
He certainly whipped those celebrities into shape.
Yes, he did. And of course, he had lipstick on his backside, after the meeting with his cabinet, except for...
I mean, if you can get LaToya Jackson organized, you certainly can organize the United States of America.
There you go. But his cabinet meeting, he had lipstick all over his backside. So just when he left.
All right. You don't even know what he's referencing, yeah. Folks. So
do know about the cabinet meeting.
Follow him on Twitter, and maybe he'll explain in 140
words. The cabinet meeting was all well advertised.
Okay. Now I know what you're talking about.
Now you know, sure. But there was lipstick all over his backside. That was the point. And I didn't realize that so many men wore lipstick. That was an odd side of that whole thing.
Let's go back to the interview now.
All right.
Wrapping up this and getting into another topic.
Did admit that what I said was right. And if you look further back before he heard about that, I think maybe he wasn't admitting that. So you'll have to do a little investigative reporting to determine that. But I don't think it'll be that hard.
Robert Mueller, do you think he should recuse himself from this? Because he is good friends with James Comey. He's.
I like how she sets the premise up just in case he's not ready for this, but he is.
Hired some attorneys that were part of Hillary Clinton's foundation and given money to President Obama and Hillary Clinton's campaign. Should he recuse himself?
Well, he's very, very good friends with Comey, which is very bothersome, but he's also...
Plot.
We're going to have to see. I mean, we're going to have to see in terms... Look, there has been no obstruction. There has been no collusion. There has been leaking by Comey. But there's been no collusion, no obstruction, and virtually everybody agrees to that.
Virtually everyone agrees
virtually
to that.
Virtually is the curious outlier.
Yes. How many is virtually?
That's depending on the Bitcoin. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Virtual reality...
Got it.
Yeah, well, I've heard of that. All right.
So we'll have to see. I can say that the people that have been hired are all Hillary Clinton supporters. Some of them worked for Hillary Clinton. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous, if you want to know the truth from that standpoint.
Who appointed the special prosecutor? Wasn't it the deputy attorney general?
I think it was.
For which president did he work for? Or does he work for?
Who does he work for? He works for the Attorney General.
Well, no, which president does he work for?
Oh, which president? He works for Trump.
So why is President Trump appointing all these Hillary people?
He really is doing that, knowingly or unknowingly. I don't know what he knows.
Okay. All right.
The twittering of Trump is quite something. But go ahead, Henry. You're setting an agenda here.
Robert Mueller's an honorable man. And hopefully he'll come up with an honorable solution.
Uh-oh.
Today there are four senators and they're not supporting this health care bill, four Republican senators. What is your message to them? Because your supporters that voted for you are a little frustrated because you have the White House, you have the House, Republicans have the House and the Senate, but you have these senators that are not on board.
Well, they're also four good guys and they're four friends of mine. And I think that...
Now, two of those four friends are Rand Paul and Ted Cruz,
mm-hmm.
who were just... great friends during the campaign.
Oh, they were lovely friends.
And I'm sure, yeah. I mean, Ted Cruz, wasn't he really appreciative of the attention that President Trump chose his wife?
Yeah. Well, and was his father involved with the killing of Kennedy and that sort of thing?
No, you can't hide evidence like that.
Exactly.
It was on the New York, the Inquirer, or the Globe or something.
You go through the line at the grocery store, they're right there.
Well, they haven't had, which slander or... other lawsuit has the Inquirer lost about their stories?
Never lost.
Ask John Edwards about that stuff.
There you go.
Ask about, the list goes on.
Who's
and on.
Dying next and so forth, yeah.
Oh, okay. You know, that's pretty much if I say that person is going to die, it's pretty much it's a sure
about,
thing.
And
it always gets me in healthcare where they say the mortality rate decreases. No, the mortality rate is 100%.
What it is.
The life expectancy may change.
There
the mortality rate doesn't change.
You die when you die.
And they'll probably get there. We'll have to see. You know, health care is a very difficult situation. If you look, the Clintons tried to get it, and after years and years, they couldn't do it. Obamacare.
I do have to give a heads up when you get to later in this interview when he talks about Social Security and Medicare and obstructionism. It's getting there. We got some other highlights here.
It was murder for them to get, and now it's failed. It's virtually out of business. Obamacare is a disaster, and we're trying to do something in a very short period of time. It's interesting, I've been here for only 5 months. People saying, where's the health care? Where's the health care? Well, I've done in 5 months what other people haven't done in years, and it's been people.
What has he done in 5 months with health care?
The Supreme Court's been, the job's been filled.
Health care, that's what he's talking about.
Oh, and health care?
Well, he's got, the House has passed a bill, the Senate hasn't passed a bill.
And the way it's looking, this bill may go down because they've got at least, there's at least eight dissenters, three of which are probably solid. And the three are Heller, Collins, and Murkowski. And the Cruz, the Rand Paul. Rand Paul may hold to his guns, but I wouldn't trust Cruz to not vote for it. He will, I believe. And let me think, who are the other two? I've forgotten who the other two are.
There was Mike Lee.
Mike Lee.
And I think Senator Johnson.
Oh, yeah, Ron Johnson from Wisconsin.
I think he's a doctor, though, isn't he?
Yeah, Dr. Ron Johnson. Well, there's, yeah.
Medical
doctor, yeah.
Well, I saw him interviewed on one show, and he had a point that sounded good. It's not true, but it sounded good. He said that the Senate bill had increased the subsidies to the point that it was going to be affordable for people to get off Medicaid and get into a commercial plan with broader networks and more choices. And I'm trying to figure out that how the subsidies are pretty darn good right now, and people aren't making that move.
It depends on the plan you're in. If it's the platinum or the silver or
well, no, the silver is currently where the not only are the subsidies there, subsidies are on the bronze also, but the cost sharing benefits of the Affordable Care Act are in the silver plans. And sitting on the Vanity County Healthcare Advisory Board, I had to demonstrate to some of the other members just how good those subsidies are. And if you're making $20,000 a year in Manatee County and you were buying insurance on the exchange at the beginning of this year for about $100 a month, you could get a plan with $1 copay for your primary care, $3 copay for your specialist, and a $900 out-of-pocket. That's pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
But even at that level,
when someone's paying about as an individual, which would pay about $200 a month, an individual would pay say $200 a month. What plan would they be in? And they claim, this person told me they have a $7,500 deductible that has to be taken care of. And I said, is that on every circumstance or what? No, you have this deductible. So the misinformation got to be out there is huge.
Well, what that person's income is a determinant.
Probably, somewhere between $15,000 and $20,000.
Then they need help on that exchange because they're not navigating it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I could find plans that if you're not paying attention but no, at $20,000 in Manatee County, like Sarasota County, you don't think is much different. And it was a Blue Cross plan. So it was.
Well, the other thing that happened this morning, I was watching one of the broadcasters talk to, I'm forgetting who it was now, somebody who was for the plan. Oh, this guy who was, he's a senator, Williams is his name. Was he going to vote for it? And he was saying why he was going to vote for it. And he was saying how much better it would be to go to this plan. So the broadcaster said, well, you have a list of items that you're protecting. Well, it changes from state to state, and just he kept asking the same question. Essentially, the guy dodged the whole thing and killed the interview. But instead of saying, since you can't answer that, obviously you don't know. And if you don't know, why are you supporting something you don't know what you're supporting? Why would you do that? And that's too embarrassing, so he didn't ask that question. But a list of everything it's in the Obamacare thing. There's like 10 items that are absolutely mandated that you're covering pre-existing conditions and a whole and nine others.
You get your annual physical at no copay.
Right.
You have contraception is paid for. That pretty much is 50% of the population, so there's 50% that doesn't really care about that. But if you work in healthcare and you look at those, you're like, yeah, people need to be covered for this stuff.
But this,
diagnostic testing?
Mm-hmm. This plan now that's being put forward basically creates 50 insurance plans that each state has to run in one way or another as they choose to. Heller is from Nevada, and the governor vetoed a bill in Nevada that was pushing for a single payer in Nevada, or Medicare, actually.
Well, actually, Nevada is contemplating, this might have been the spinoff from what you're talking about, because I don't think this one has been killed yet, putting an option to buy into Medicaid, the state Medicaid plan, into the exchange. Now, you wouldn't have you wouldn't be getting it paid for like if you actually were entitled to Medicaid. It would be, you would buy your Medicaid plan just like you would buy an insurance plan. And the fact is that it could be marketed cheaply enough that the state wouldn't have a negative cash flow on that, that they could actually sell it and at least break even, or maybe even make a little money to subsidize the other things they do in the state.
Well, the real irony in all of this is, and California is moving to Medicare for all or single payer, I'm not sure which, but one of the two there, and that's going to be a real bellwether where things are moving. But Canada, it costs a little over $4,000 for health care for everybody covered. And our country, with not everybody.
$4,000 per individual?
Per individual, total cost. And in the United States, it's over $9,000 for the people that are covered. Not the entire country.
Well, I buy through the exchange this year, and hopefully I'm going to find a solution before I have to buy next year, because with the Affordable Care Act, you're supposed to be capped at about 10% of your income level up through 400% of the poverty level, which, you know, for people, that's probably around $50,000. Doesn't quite work out that way for me that I'm getting it that cheaply. But with a Republican plan for someone 60 years old like I am, or 61 next year, it would probably take up 35 to 40% of my income to buy insurance.
Mm-hmm.
It probably cost me around $14,000 a year in health insurance premiums for a $7,000 deductible policy.
Right. Yeah, I think that's what this woman had. It was telling me about her problem, that very thing. And I think this is, but the the odd thing is why, and I was in this group meeting yesterday, and I said, when you have 50 different versions of a plan, and people have to chase for insurance to stay in a plan, this is what, by voting for this, this is what we're inviting. And what this goes back to is what we had before we had the Affordable Care Act. And that's the real irony of the whole thing.
Well, and I'm not revealing anybody's individual personal medical information, but it's not a secret that I work in healthcare. And I was in the exam room with, and I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not the medical professional.
You're an observer.
I'm in the administration side.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in this exam room with this couple who both are on Medicare. And I will say it's in Venice, Florida, which, you know, the demographics skew a certain way in Venice. And the husband says to me, well, when they get rid of this Obamacare, things really get better. And first of all, it has nothing to do with them.
That's right.
And other than the quality standards that the Affordable Care Act requires
of Medicare.
The
other words that came out of his mouth were, that's why I voted for Trump.
Well, I didn't go there. but I,
right.
You know, it was just so great. I was like, no. Things are really better now. It's not like President Trump. I didn't say this part. It's not like President Trump, where it's a disaster, where it's dying. The only reason the exchanges are having trouble is Marco Rubio, our senator, killed the risk corridor, which leveled out the risk for the insurance companies. And he was touting that in the presidential election about how he had killed the exchanges. So, but they're still surviving even despite that, in spite of that.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I run into people all the time that would not be able to get treated if it wasn't for the Affordable Care Act.
And you know, so these people, did you comment to why it's better now than it was? What did they say when you said that?
Well, I was very limited in my time, and I knew that my doctor would be overhearing shortly. And he would be like, nah, no politics in the exam room.
But there you go.
Sometimes.
That's it. Well, it is.
Sometimes you just can't let things go.
Well, I was at my dentist. We were talking about doctor situation. I was being worked on for my teeth, and the dentist is a woman, and she was telling me that we talked about the healthcare thing and how ridiculous this whole effort is to take insurance away from people and put them in a catch 22 50 times over. But she says, "Well, my boyfriend and my two friends were going to go on July 4th to somewhere around in the mountains up in Georgia." And I says, "Not the Stone Mountain." "No, no, 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 not there. That's where the Confederate monument is, carvings on the stone for the Confederacy."
Yeah, I think that's private property, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know.
I don't think
well,
it
has
state.
Visitors. And
yeah, it's a commercial enterprise.
Is that what it is? No, I've never seen it. But anyway, have you seen
it? I haven't seen it in person, but the images I've seen are pretty impressive, actually.
The artwork's pretty crappy, frankly. It's
like Mount Rushmore is Michelangelo.
Yeah, Mount Rushmore is like Michelangelo.
And I want to see why you think that.
Well, I can tell you.
We'll pull this up right here. Anybody in the neighborhood, come around.
Well,
Augie will give a seminar here once we get off the air.
I'd be glad to do that.
I want to be educated.
You, if you don't know the difference, you will be. The point is that the conversation went around to, I said, "So why are you going up with your liberal friends? Because we weren't able to have a conversation." I said, "So," she says, "but we invited the family." And the family says, "If you're going to talk politics, we're not coming." He says, "That's why we invited you. We didn't want you to really come." So this division in this country is just getting so intense. And it's dividing people in ways that are, I think, pretty sad, that the people who are uninformed are intending to remain uninformed, and at their peril, which is always what happens.
They're raising the blood pressure of the rest of us.
Well, it's bothersome, but and of course the liberals are so damn smart, they're absolutely going to drive people crazy, and all the rest. But it's a very odd thing that this country compares itself to itself. We're number one. Compare yourself to that. Well, you can't. You're number one, and that's the end of the argument. So, but anyway, the whole political thing, this healthcare argument, is going to make that really, really intense. I don't know where this thing is going. Trump's numbers are at 40% and holding pretty solidly. The last poll I saw. So. People are digging their heels in right now to keep his support. He's not getting a fair shot, Henry, don't you know?
I'm trying to pull up Stone Mountain so that maybe we could share this with the audience. Everything else we were planning on is pretty much by the wayside now. We're going to solve the Middle East problem. But
there's the Middle East problem. Oh, hey, Qatar. That would be the Middle East problem. Do you want to go there? I'll be glad to.
I'm wondering why Google is not cooperating here.
Well, Stone Mountain is really what I call a cartoon, and a cartoon in not the best way. The motive sculpturing is all about what is called monumentality, Henry. And when you deal with monumentality, that is, you basically think of a spire. The peak of the spire is what makes monumentality effective. You look at the Statue of Liberty, you have a small head relative to a very large figure from there on down. And that's how you define monumentality. The standard measurement for a body is 8 heads to a body in terms of scale. And in terms of monumentality, it probably becomes 10 heads or 12 heads in the way the sculpture is designed. And if you look at the sculptures...
I'm looking right now.
Okay, when you look at the sculptures on Stone Mountain... These are what I call primitive in lots of respects. The technique is, I'll look at the, I'm not sure which figure it is, but they're on horses. There's two horses and two men on horses, maybe a third one on the back. The heads are too large relative to the scale of the body to be effectively monumental. And they were more interesting.
People were shorter back then.
And that's really, well, if you go to most monumental situations, by competent artists, they know this, and this is someone who has the skill to carve stone, then it's about as far as it goes. There's no artistic understanding. And, you know, the clustering of the horses is fairly good, but these large plunked-on heads are large probably because the patron said, I want to be able to see who in the hell they are. I want them like Rushmore. And the guys, the artist, probably saying, well, why didn't we carve these heads on as large as we did Rushmore, and you might have that. And that's what didn't happen there.
So tell me, besides Mount Rushmore, what other mountains do you like the carvings on?
Really, there's Rushmore is really rather spectacular in the way they did it. And it's scaled, the heads are scaled against the mountain itself. The base of the mountain gives you the feel of the bodies are from the head on down, and so you feel this very monumental effect. But yeah, and it's aspirational because the spire is part of that word. It's like a cathedral. Everything travels visually.
Right.
Up.
So that's the best there is. But what's number two or three?
I'm trying to think. Oh, I would go to India for the greatest sculpture. Would be the Temple of Ellora, Ellora in India. It was carved out of a 100-foot high bluff, carved back 300 yards or something like that, hand carved. Took 50 years to do that, and they carved a temple inside of this plateau that they cut the thing out of, and they cut the rooms out of that. At the base of the temple inside the mountain, you have the carvings of the god Shiva. Magnificent thing, absolutely magnificent. But that's true of Buddhist art in stone carving out in the weather. If you go to Angkor Wat Vietnam, it's in, Angkor Wat is a very famous sculpture building, architecture. It's not stacked.
That's fascinating history. So, but what's number two in the United States?
Carved stone.
In the side of a mountain.
I really don't think there is much.
Oh, then that's supposed to be number two.
That's got
to
be number two.
I rest my case.
Well,
carving depicts three Confederate figures, Stonewall Jackson, Robert E. Lee, Jefferson Davis. It was once owned by the Venable Brothers and was the site of the founding of the second Ku Klux Klan in 1950. So I'm sure you'll have people that will tell you about how this is just a pride of Confederate heritage, Southern heritage. But I get down to the memorial, and the carving of the three men towers 400 feet above the ground and measures 76 by 158 feet, recessed 42 feet.
The best part of the carving are in the horses and the bodies of the men. The heads are very queer, the way they've been carved, like they've been added on to.
It was... there's a Stone Mountain Memorial $0.50 done in 1925. Anyway, it was conceived by Mrs. Helen Plain, charter member of the United Daughters of the Confederacy, who I think are probably who did the Confederate Memorial pillar spire in downtown Bradenton, which may be on the waterfront now, or it might still be in front of the courthouse. I'm not sure.
They're removing a Confederate monument, I think, in St. Petersburg.
Yeah. It was purchased by the Georgia legislature in 1963. So a little, the sculptor Augustus Lugman continued until 1928, and then the further work stopped for 30 years. In 1958, at the urging of Governor Marvin Griffin, the Georgia legislature approved a measure to purchase the Stone Mountain for $1.25 million. 1963, Walter Hancock was selected to complete the carving and began work in 1960. This is a relatively new completion. I don't know where the...
My guess is that they butchered the heads of these figures. Somebody did, or didn't like the identity of the character, because from the neck on down, these figures aren't too bad artistically. But from the heads themselves look like almost like stone plant-ons, frankly.
Well, they probably started it from the top and were working down, wouldn't you?
No. Well, depending on how you scale it, the layout of the figures, the horses' figures and the bodies on the horses seems like one thing, and the heads, as I say, seem to have been added. So what they could have done is carved the heads independent of the bodies and cut out the section and put the heads on afterwards, like mannequins. That's my suspicion. That's why they don't work artistically.
We're running over our time a little bit, but this is such an important topic.
Well, yeah, the Confederacy is such a wonderful thing. It was really meant to save the slaves from more work.
Which lasted longer, the Confederacy or the Third Reich?
Oh, I would say the Confederacy for sure.
The Third Reich did. Didn't that start in the 30s? Didn't end in 44?
It ended in 44. It started in the 30s. It would be, let's see, it started in the...
Confederacy was only about 5 years.
You mean, oh, the Confederacy itself.
Yeah.
Oh, the Klan has really continued the segregation and the elements of what the Confederacy started took forever to get rid of.
Actually, Gutzon Borgium was commissioned to do the carving. He abandoned the project in 1925 and later went on to begin Mount Rushmore.
So he was getting
warmed up.
See, that's my suspicion, that he didn't do the heads. That's
no, and then American sculptor Augustus Luckman continued until 1928, and then they stopped, and then it was the money that the Georgia legislature...
So the quality part is the bigger part, which is the lower part, and the upper part of that was done separately.
Well, that would be how it appears. The carving was completed by Roy Faulkner, who later operated a museum on the nearby Memorial Drive, so... A multi-talented artist.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You should charge admission to your house.
Oh, well, there's a bit of a touring ghost to my house already.
You got a tip jar out there or anything?
I probably should, yeah.
You never know. It's a lot better than a reverse mortgage.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord.
All right, so we're over, and we need to get out of here. So let's find a little redemption here with Bob Marley and take us out of here.
There you go.
Thanks to Augie for coming in. See you back someday here.
Old pirates, yes, they rob I. Sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? Is all I ever have, redemption song.